So let's begin by praying, and then we'll start. I'll start talking. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that this morning that you help me to speak what it is you want me to say. Lord, I thank you that as a congregation we have ears to hear. But mostly, Lord, I thank you that your presence comes and just ministers to each person, that something on the inside of them just goes, ah, yes. It's such a rest to come into church and feel God's presence today. So, Lord, I thank you that you help me and that I put my trust in you and that your presence is here for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to go on a journey through a couple of the verses that precede 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're going to look at Moses, we're going to look at ourselves, and then we're going to come back to the very beginning, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And before we do that, we're going to stand up and we're going to do the confession of faith. So please stand with me. Thanks, Raj. And hold up your Bibles. And it's up there on the screen. And we're just going to read that out. Are you ready? This is my Bible. It is God's word to me. It is true, infallible, and can be trusted at all times. As I hear God's word today, I declare that my heart is receptive, my mind is open. Because of the light from his word, I take only right steps, I make only right decisions, I say only right things. I leave this place a better person than I came, transformed forever by the power of his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for that slight hiccup. And just that last line there about transformation, that's what I'm going to talk about today. So how timely that that was all in the wrong order. So turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 7 down to verse 18. And it says this. It's quite a lengthy piece of scripture, by the way, so just bear with me as I read it. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So lengthy and almost circular in language, so tricky to understand, but we're going to pick out a few of the verses just so that we can get a little bit of understanding. So the verses we've just read are comparing the covenant God made with Moses in the Old Testament in the very early days after creation with the new covenant which is found in salvation through Jesus. Now the Old Covenant includes the Ten Commandments and many, many laws, and it's called the Old Covenant or the Mosaic Covenant. And Paul, who is the writer of the letter to the Corinthians, is comparing it with the new covenant which is found in Jesus Christ. What Paul is doing is he's calling that old way, the old way of living, the ministry of death or the ministry of condemnation. So even though he's saying it was glorious because God was involved and it was a good way to live, it had condemnation attached to it. If you did the wrong thing, there was punishment. A lot of people still live under the old covenant, or they think that this is what God is like, that God is out to get you. He's going to punish you if you've done something wrong. He's going to get you. But God wants you to know that he's actually the opposite of that. So when God sent Jesus into the world to preach and then to die on the cross, the old covenant passed away. It came to an end. And so what he replaced it with was the ministry of righteousness, which just means to be in right standing with God through Jesus. It brings liberty, it brings freedom, and it brings transformation. It's even more glorious than the old. It brings life. So that's what those scriptures are talking about there. So in this new covenant, our hearts and eyes have been unveiled to see the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know and understand that Jesus came because he loved us and wanted to bring us into relationship with him. So when we surrender our lives to Jesus, a new life begins. So we'll just turn over a page or two to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." So that's what it is to be in Christ. It's all those old things in life, the things that have bound us up, the things that have caused us to worry or stress. Those things, they pass away in Christ. So in Christ, we've been transformed. Firstly, at the point of salvation. Firstly, when we say to Jesus, "Yep, I give my life to you. I can't do this on my own." So at that point, the old life passes away. But then that process of transformation continues. It hasn't finished, which is good news. Because as we live our lives, things happen and we learn new habits and things happen, and so that transformation is ongoing. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We are being transformed. It's a continuing process that is done by the Spirit of the Lord." So it doesn't have to, it's not through our own strength, it's not through reading self-help books, even though they might be useful at times, but it is actually through the Spirit of God coming to help us, and we're going to delve into that a bit more in a minute. So I can say in my own life that I have found it to be true that at various times and in different seasons, the Lord brings to my attention something that he wants to transform, something that he wants to heal, something that he wants to reveal, or something that he wants to shine his light on. And I know that when he does that, he's going to keep me safe in it. It's not going to come with that sense of condemnation or guilt. So now that we have the foundation for today's message, let's delve into a little bit more of what I feel like God wants us to say today. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 3:13. And it says this: "Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at what was passing away." The scriptures that we read at the beginning describe a time thousands of years ago where Moses had an encounter with God that caused his face to shine so brightly that he covered it with a veil. The glory was so great that the ordinary people, they couldn't look at it because it's so bright. But with the passage of time, the glory of the Lord was fading away. So Moses, he kept the veil over his face. Now, I think he did that to hide it from the people. He didn't want people to know that his face was losing the shine. So I wondered about that, and I thought, I wonder why. Maybe he was afraid of what the people would say or do, or maybe it was because as the glory was fading, Moses felt that God had left him. And it doesn't actually say why, so I don't know why. But either way, he kept his face veiled or hidden. And that doesn't that seem like human nature, that sometimes we veil things and we hide things? So I was thinking about Moses and this hiding or this veiling, and it caused me to wonder about what I might veil in my own life, what's hidden in my heart from myself and from God. And it sent me on a journey in the scriptures, and today I want to share that with you. So in June this year, I went on a women's retreat with my friend. We've been friends for about 45 years, so she's my oldest friend. And the whole weekend was based around the scripture 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we were, I just said to her, Ron, but that's our scripture for the year at church. And she goes to an Anglican church down in Bunbury, so it's not as though we're connected. So we just laughed. But all I can say is that I really think that just in this season of time that God is wanting to do something that is transforming our lives. He doesn't want to leave us as we were. And I think one of the reasons is if we read 2 Corinthians 3:12, it says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. So I think one of the reasons God wants to transform us is so that we can speak with boldness about what he has done for us. He just loves us too much to leave us as we were when we came to him at salvation. So even at that point where we are transformed because we've come into the knowledge of Jesus, he then begins that process. When we know he has transformed our lives, he continues to do it for as long as we're alive. And we know that because of that, and isn't it good that it's not that just one, and we have to go back and we have to remember, what was it like when he transformed me? I'm sure it was pretty good. It's because, yes, it was good, but he's continuing to do it. So I'm going to tell you a story in a minute about a most recent, because of all of this transformation, what he's done in my life just recently. So it means I can talk about that because his transformational power is new, it's fresh, it's today, it's ongoing. And he never changes, so he always wants to do it. He wants to do it for all of us. On this retreat, there was a lot of time for prayer and reflection. And this is when it first occurred to me that sometimes transformation has to do with the things that we squash down, that are hidden in our hearts, that we veil, but he wants to shine the light on them. So let's read Mark chapter 4, verse 22. And it says this, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. So his desire is for those things to come to light. He doesn't want them to come to light so that he can shame us or bring guilt or any of those kinds of things. He wants to shine the light because he wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring transformation. He wants it so it doesn't hold power over us anymore. He doesn't want us to be stuck there in the past. He wants to bring us forward to now so that we can live fully in him. So I think that we all have hidden beliefs about ourselves. Sometimes we don't even know that we have them. In our lives, these could be things that hold us back from living in the perfect liberty or the freedom that being in Christ provides. We might live with a sense of condemnation because we don't measure up to what we think we should be doing, or we feel ashamed because of something that's happened in the past. But the good news is that 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that the transformation is by the Spirit of the Lord. You can rest easy. You don't have to muscle up the strength or the hard work to overcome this because he's going to help you. And just on that note about condemnation, this is what Romans 8 verse 1 says. It says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That transformation from condemnation, or from, as Paul put it in our first lot of reading, from the condemnation or death, is by the Spirit of the Lord. So, if, you know, sometimes, you know, when we make those New Year's resolutions and then we're like, I'm going to be the best at that. And then a week later, you can't do it anymore. Next year's a new year, so don't worry. Well, when it's done by the Spirit of the Lord, I don't know how it happens, but it's not like that. It's actually a much more restful type of thing. And we'll talk about that again in a moment. Anyway, now I'm going to tell you a story. I was reading through my notes from the retreat as I was thinking about this message, and I found a note in one of the margins that I must have written as I was praying. And I had written down this terrible statement, and then I must have put it away because I didn't like it very much. And it said, hidden perfectionism. So in my day-to-day life, I'm not particularly a perfectionist. So if you came to my house, I'm quite happy for things to be around. It doesn't bother me. If you work with me, you know that my desk, this is my friend Dee from work. And Dee and I share a desk, but we've actually got three desks between the two of us. And I thought, we need all that space, don't we? Because we spread out. And it's, you know, there's food and there's, I don't know what there is, but we need it all. And it's messy as well. But let's just say it's organised chaos. So anyway, I'm not particularly a perfectionist in my day-to-day life. And in actual fact, if you'd asked me, if you'd said to me, oh, Nick, you're being perfect, you're trying to be perfect, I would say, no, I'm not. I'm just really wanting to give God my best. I'm just really wanting to do this the best way I possibly can. So I wouldn't actually really look at what was happening. And, I think what it was is that it just caused me to put myself into a holding pattern where I'm waiting for the perfect time. I'm waiting for the perfect time to tell someone about Jesus. I'm waiting for the perfect time to try something new. I'm waiting for everything to line up and be perfect so I can do the next step. And I'm waiting for the perfect prayer time. And then, you know, sometimes in prayer times, it's just like a sentence. And I think that wasn't long enough. It needs to be at least 3 or 4 hours long. And so my prayers never measure up. Nothing ever measures up to this standard of perfection that I have hidden inside of myself. Anyway, that scripture, Mark 4:22, says that God will shine the light on the things that are hidden. And so when he shines that light on that perfection, he's not doing it just for me to go, oh, how nice, there's some perfection there. But he has then a way that he's going to transform me. So before we go to the couple of things I have around how he does transformation, I just want to talk about what might be hidden in you and what is or could also be hidden in me. And so here are some thoughts that I have about things we keep hidden. It could be things like resentments. It could be anger or shame. It could be fear. It could be negative self-talk or unforgiveness or rejection. And I think that the outworking of these hidden things can be the restricting of the use of our gifts or talents for God. That was my experience. Or it could be the loss of the joy of our salvation. It could cause roots of bitterness to happen. I've done that too. It could be that we take offense. It could be anxiety, worry or depression or loneliness or feelings of helplessness. And you can name your own hidden thing as the Lord brings it to mind. And when the time is right, you know, he doesn't do everything all at once, because I think we'd all fall over in a heap. So it's this journey throughout our life where he says, like this just recently, Nick, let's have a look at perfection now. Like, oh, okay, but it's not really perfection, Lord. It's just me wanting to do my best. And he says, no, let's look at it honestly. Let's take it out and unpack it. So I just want to reiterate what Pastor Joe said last week at this point about if you do have things in your life and you need some help, then go and see your GP or go to counselling and ask someone who has the tools, get some help on how to unpack these things, because that can be really helpful and it can also be a part of that journey of transformation. So far we have looked at what Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians about the old and new covenant and the glory of the Lord and Moses. So now I want to go way, way, way back to Exodus, where the beginning of where this story that is written in Corinthians unfolds. So if you can turn in your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 33. And the background is that Moses had just come down from Mount Sinai, where he'd been for 40 days in prayer. So, you know, when I say about my 3-hour prayers, maybe I compare it to Moses who did 40 days. I don't think I do that. And when he was up there, he received the Ten Commandments. When he came down from the mountain, he discovered that the Israelites had gone back to worshipping graven images and foreign gods. And Moses was so angry, he couldn't believe it. So when he found out what had happened, he had these two tablets with all this writing on them that God had given him about the Ten Commandments, and he threw them down and they broke. I mean, I don't know. In all that rage and messiness, Moses came to a point over the following verses that he decides that he's going to meet with the Lord, and they have the following conversation and prayer. And I just want to say that it's often in the messiness of life that we see his glory. So It's not when things are perfect. It's when things are messy and we don't know what's going on. Now, this also is a lengthy portion of scripture, so just bear with me as we read it. So Exodus chapter 33, verses 11 to 23. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he, the Lord, said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, this is God speaking, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by." So remember how in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that being transformed is by the Spirit of the Lord? I think that this prayer gives us some clues as to how that transformation might happen. So the first thing I want to say is, and it's in verse 33:11, and it is this: the Lord talks to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. So my first point is, allow the Lord to talk to you as a friend. Don't hold him at arm's length. Let him come close. Let him speak to you. You know, often we'll say, you know, in Christian circles, we might say things like, just talk to the Lord like he's your friend. And that's a really good thing to do. But at the same time, remember that he actually wants to talk to you like a friend. It's not a one-way street. He is your friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And Scripture is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the friend that sticks close. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he wants to talk to you as a friend. When the Lord talks to us and we talk to him, we can tell him anything. Sometimes the reason we don't is that what we have hidden or veiled in our lives has caused pain, and we want to avoid it. Just bringing it up just can be painful. But in talking to Jesus, we find someone who can identify with our pain, with our grief or suffering. Isaiah 53:3 says, "He is," talking about Jesus, "despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." This scripture is describing Jesus. So even though we might hide our faces, I think it's got a double meaning. We hid our faces, the scripture means, because he looked so terrible and we didn't like it. But we also hide our faces because we don't want him to see what's going on inside of us. But this scripture, in describing Jesus, it says he was rejected. He knew grief and sorrow. And so he understands. He's not someone who doesn't know. He knows. So how do we allow the Lord to talk to us like a friend? Well, you know, I sometimes think that might be different for all of us, because we're all different. But it could just be that still small voice that just pops into, somehow it just pops in. It's like when I was thinking about perfectionism, it just comes and it goes. It could be through reading the Bible or worship. Could be in conversation with friends where something just, oh, hang on a minute, that just meant something to me. But whatever it is, it's by His Spirit. That's the most important way. The second part of these scriptures that I think is just very nice is this, and it's in verse 14, it says, "And He, the Lord, said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" So in that process of transformation, He wants it to be like a rest. His presence is going to go with you. It's going to be like a rest. You know how before, and I said, you know, you don't have to muscle it up. Just relax, because He's going to help you. He's going to do it with you. So I just want to talk a little bit about those hidden things a bit more. They can keep us stuck, and they can cause us to avoid the uncomfortable. They keep us stuck in places we don't want to go, and maybe even repeating behaviours that we don't like. But at the same time, we can be reliant on them. It's like they're the status quo. That's how we're used to being. So we can use them to justify our actions and excuse them by saying, well, that's just how I am. But God, He wants to take those things and transform us. So, for example, John and I sometimes have arguments. Hard to believe. And can I say, maybe it's me who's having arguments and John's just like, what's going on right now? Anyway, personally, I actually don't like arguments or conflict. But you know that sense of perfectionism? It also could be a sense of, I'm right. And so I'm going to the end. I'm going to last the distance in the argument. Anyway, we've had a few difficult years, and I think how do you cope in sometimes in difficult times? And it's just by the grace of God, in all honesty. Anyway, I think during that time we fell into a bit of a habit of blaming each other for our own behaviours, and there was a little bit of tit for tat, well, you did this and you did that, and both of us have said it various times. Can I just say it more me than him? Anyway, we have said to each other, well, you never do this and you always do that. And also, that's just how I am, so you're just going to have to suck it up. I mentioned perfection earlier, and there is something inside me, it's unknown and hidden, but it drives my behaviour in this and it doesn't allow me to be wrong. So I have this urge, I'm going to fight it to the end, I'm going to be right. So the results of these arguments can be the silent treatment, sleeplessness and worry about it, and just generally feeling miserable, a lack of rest. But He wants to give me rest, so therefore He wants to transform that. So you know my prayer about showing me what is hidden and that He wants it to transform it. He is helping me to not need to be right. Somehow that hidden belief that being right is equal to being perfect, so then I must argue to the end. He's transforming me, not with guilt or shame or demanding or forcing, but as the scripture said in Exodus, He's always coming towards me with His goodness. He's always coming towards me with His grace and compassion. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It could be a simple thing like perfection, which actually can be a huge thing that affects your whole life. It could be any of those other things, but, you know, it's what's hidden in your heart. I just want you to know that whatever it is, when we are in Christ, we can let it go, because He's got us. He is with us, and where He is, there is rest for our hearts and minds. Just think of the story of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance from his father and he wasted the lot and ended up living with pigs. He did it all. But the father is watching for the return of his son, and then he welcomes him with open arms. Our Father in heaven hasn't changed from that picture. It doesn't matter what we've done. He's waiting with welcome arms. He's waiting for us to come to us. And He takes our hearts and minds and He covers it with His goodness, His grace and His compassion. He gives us a rest from all that we are facing. Matthew 11 verse 28 says it like this: "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So in my own situation, I have to say, since Jesus shining the light on being perfect, that I've lost the urge to argue to the end. I don't even know how that happened. And we do still argue because that's what people do and that's okay. But it's like the need has left me. And I'm just so grateful because I don't have to carry that. I don't know how he did it. It was by his spirit. The other thing that happened, that these scriptures talk about in Exodus, is Exodus 33:21, and it says, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock." So my third point is, stay standing on the rock. Sometimes those hidden or veiled things can cause us to think that God isn't going to change our situations, that he can't, it's impossible. We can sort of think to ourselves, it's like my reality or my experience it's impossible, God couldn't possibly. We might think, well, that's just how it is for me. Bad things happen and that's just how it is. It can lead to such disappointment and sorrow or resentment or bitterness. And these things can steal away our joy. They can steal us from trusting in God. But if we stand on the rock of God's word, the Bible, we can begin to transform that belief. With God, it's the reverse. We say, I'm in a mess, I better go to God. But God says, stand on the rock, and when the mess happens, because it will, because life is like that, we won't be overwhelmed because he is with us. Matthew 7:24 says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So the circumstances of our lives might be like those storms and those winds. It can feel like it's going to overwhelm us. But because Jesus is the rock on which we stand, we're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You know what? It might be hard work or messy or emotional to look at hidden things. So don't do it alone. Do it together. Keep yourself planted on the rock, who is Jesus. And come to church. We can do this together. My fourth point, and it's the final point before I finish, is that it's by his spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. You can just tell me what it says, can't you? Because you know, we've been practicing it all year. But let me just get there. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." When God starts to show you something hidden that he wants to bring to light or to unveil or that he wants to transform, it is done by his Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. It might require you to do some work. It might require repentance. "I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done." And you know, it's not an easy place sometimes to come to repentance, but he'll help you if that's what you feel like he wants you to do. Anyway, "I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done." In my case, "I'm sorry, Lord, that I let a wedge of perfection drive itself between John and I. Please help me." It could be forgiveness. "Lord, please help me to forgive the one who has wronged me." It could be asking for help. "Lord, please help me overcome this situation." Or wisdom. "Lord, give me wisdom." And then just allow him to speak into that. We are working with his spirit to bring us into a place where if we were to hold up a mirror, as it says in 2 Corinthians, we wouldn't see our old selves with all the faults or the fears or the exhaustion, but what we can recognise and see is that we've been transformed by Jesus and we are living in freedom with him. That is our ongoing journey. Finally, what I'd like to finish with is the last part of the conversation that Moses and the Lord, and it says this in Exodus 33:22. "So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Because I've been thinking about standing on the rock, that saying just popped into my head, I'm stuck between the rock and the hard place. Meaning that there isn't an easy decision. Whichever way I look, it feels impossible. It feels like I can't overcome. It's hard sometimes to look at the hidden things in our lives, to allow the Lord to shine into those places. But when I think of that saying, between the rock and the hard place, I reimagined it. And I thought, what if this rock here is the rock on which I stand? It's Jesus. And what if he's wanting me to look at these unsightly things I don't want to even acknowledge I have? But what he does is he takes me and he puts me in the cleft of those two things. And then I can exchange that possibility of this being impossible with letting and allowing his hand to cover me in that cleft. And there he keeps me safe. I can look at those things because he's with me and he's going to cover me with his grace, with his goodness and with his compassion. So if you feel like today it's time to start looking at some of those hidden things, just imagine that he's going to put you in the cleft of that rock. He's going to cover you with his grace. He's going to cover you with his goodness and with his compassion. He's going to do it by his Spirit. So as we finish with prayer this morning, let's just take a moment to just talk to the Lord and talk to him about those parts that you might have hidden and that you might need to be need transformation. Let's just pray quietly. We just come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your love is so great that you don't want to leave us as we were, but you want to transform us. You want to take us from the old and bring us into the new, into that new life that brings freedom, that brings renewed hope, that brings life and joy and peace. So, Father, I thank you that as we go forward in the coming weeks, Lord, And as we allow you to talk to us about things that are hidden, that we can put our hand in yours, that we can trust in you, that you will do the work, that we just have to come along with you. And in these moments that dreams will be reawakened, things from the past that you thought, no, that's never going to happen, that there's new hope for them, that they're reawakened, that there's restoration of relationships. That we allow you to speak. That you help us to stand on the rock. That your presence comes and gives us a rest. That he causes you to have a rest. And that tiredness, that exhaustion of trying to hold it all together, just washes off. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.